How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ah, it's great having the translator here, but it's just a shame that she's so young and beautiful. As my parents might think she is here as a potential match for me.
Potential.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Exactly what Jen thought.
And literally, she called Jen's like, oh, wait. And even last episode, Jen said, wait, they'll probably think you're there, but they won't. And Rishi's like, yeah, they will.
I gotta say, I have a feeling that the translator was found by casting for just that purpose.
For sure. This is, we talk about some fraudacity on 90 Day Fiancé. This is real.
This is real.
This is real. And these two people are a mess.
Yeah.
Just Jen and Rishi, just a mess.
And it's it's a complicated by their respective cultures and not understanding what the other needs. And yo, this is Toe. This is Toe. This is Toe. Season 4, episode 13. Winds do not blow as the ships wish.
Ships wish. Our part two.
I'm just gonna have some espresso. Nespresso.
Well, I can't complain. You were not
in the little gay cup you bought me.
It is with a saucer.
This is faggy.
Show them the gay saucer I bought you with it. It was only
$25. It's that.
It's real. Did they leave the price tag on it?
Yeah.
I told them it was a gift.
That's tacky.
You're
forever known as tacky.
What are you gonna get at the Opera House gift store?
Fagness.
Well, it's true. Remember that purse I sent you? I almost bought it, but it was $400 for a sequin purse. I'm not paying that.
Oh, gay problems.
Gay problems. Y'all, we got a little bit more information. We've been calling the digital worldwide drag moment the wrong thing. It's actually called
Drag isn't dangerous. I beg to differ.
That was
It's pretty good.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous because it is so fierce.
But yeah.
But it's not going to come into your schools and warp your children's minds.
No. As we just saw as we're recording this legislation of
like
trans people
men.
In Montana today, terrible. This is very important that we raise money for this.
Yeah.
I think if we're in the queer community, one of the most important things we can give our resources to.
And this is in cooperation with the ACLU, which is going to help these.
Sorry, this little fruit fly. I can't talk. This little fruit fly.
No, this is not more moth gate.
In my face. What's wrong with the bugs in this house?
And the hair just came on. They're the drain flies that I've been trying to get rid of.
I think they're attracted to my black honey lip gloss.
Well, that's going to be a problem.
Anyway, you were saying something real
I don't
serious.
Know before you started flailing.
You were talking.
Can you not? When I'm talking about rights for LGBT people.
Well, this
people,
thing just flew at. Oh, you have no idea.
Can you not flail?
Sissies, bring back the Zapruder film. Zapruder film of. No, ours is the Zapruder. The Zapruder film.
The Zapoodle film.
Of Jake seeing it first.
Someone said, and I just went like this.
And they literally drew an arrow. It was great. So drag isn't dangerous.
Anyway, drag isn't dangerous. The ACLU is helping find legal ways to alleviate all these horrible bills that are being they're being set up by state houses everywhere in mostly Republican leaning areas, let's be honest. But what this will do, what we're also doing is, so you can buy a ticket for the moment, but we're chatting live in Discord. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Discord. Discord is kind of a platform that was invented mostly for gamers. But now, gamers, G-A-Y-M-E-R-S.
Gamers.
But now, we used it to watch movies in the pandemic. I would do a Saturday, kind of when no one was out. And I would do a Saturday watch and chat in our Facebook group, and I would just watch movies when nothing was happening, and it was it honestly helped me a lot to have connection with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're all doing shit now, so
now Poodle's getting banged again. So as soon as that happens,
yeah,
suddenly the watch chats went away. This is going to be a lot like the Netflix thing, but better because it'll actually work. But some of you were confused when we did the Netflix watch along because y'all thought we had some type of partnership with Netflix and that like we were going to air the app in your Netflix. No.
I'm laughing because you really think that we have that.
We have none of that. All this is, y'all, is you're going to have two things going. You're going to watch
or your phone.
You're going to either have your
– You're going to
watch the moment either on your computer or on
your
tablet.
TV.
I don't know if you can watch on your TV.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't want to promise something I don't know.
I'm not working tech support for Moment.
No, we're not. So that's why I would say that's
Moment.co.
That's why you can't promise something out of your ass because you're going to say TV.
I can promise
and then
Discord
say,
because that's what I know.
So, but I'm just saying for the watch, you watch it on your computer or you're on your iPad, wherever you can go to, you'll go to dragisn'tdangerous.com to get more information on that. You're going to watch that and then separately
on a computer or tablet or your
phone, you'll need to download the Discord app.
If you're using your phone, you will need to download the Discord app. If you're on your computer, you can actually just go to discord.com.
There we go.
And you can create an account that way. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit quickly about how to create. If you know all this about Discord, you can fast forward through this. But if you are a Carl's wife or unfamiliar to the world of Discord. Maybe you're not a Call of Dutyer.
Maybe you're not.
But
maybe you don't have a duty.
You can go to discord.com, create an account there. It's super easy. And then you will get to, once you can even choose your picture, you can choose everything about you. I have a lovely, I am Poodle Cat. And I have a lovely picture of Madam the Puppet.
That's wonderful.
As my, and you can, then you are go to what's called a server.
Yeah.
So you will go to, you will search for Reality Gaze and you will find our server. And then you will see things like on the left side of the screen or basically wherever you'll see shows. And then you just go down to Drag Isn't Dangerous. And that's where we'll be talking. I will post this how-to in our Sissy Squad, and I'm sure,
sure. Can we also send, though, a direct link or no?
Yes, I can send a direct link for the channel.
To the channel as well.
Yeah, we can probably post that in our Sissy Squad or some other way.
We can even post it on our Linktree link.
Yeah, that might be the easiest thing. Yeah. Put in our Linktree.
Because this is not just a Facebook group. This is everybody.
This is everybody.
A lot of people.
Everybody, everybody. So
I hope there's a lot of people because you've got to buy a ticket to the moment, and we want to raise money to the Drag Defense Fund.
So we'll post that on our Linktree of the app, the link where you can go right to our server. It says, "Welcome to Drag Isn't Dangerous." And if you search for Reality Gaze and go to Drag Isn't Dangerous, don't go to the general because some people would do on Watch and Chats, goes, "Where is everybody?"
Yeah.
Carl, I think I'm in the wrong place. Did y'all leave me? This is just like grammar school.
It's like when Sissy's text us on Saturday. "Oh my God, where's the Love is Blind? I don't see it anywhere." And I'm like, "It's Sunday." And they just respond, ... Carl. Y'all, we've all been Carl's wives.
We all are. I think both of us are.
Oh, we very much.
So we can't wait to see you next Sunday, May 7th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Discord.
May 7th?
That's when it is. Don't question me on this. God, I wish I could slap you right now. If you have something, you're going to have to change it.
Well,
you yelled at me about having something.
I guess I canceled my plans.
That's been on the books for weeks.
Well, I thought it was the 17th. It's the 7th.
That's your problem.
Well, I guess I'll just miss out.
Yeah, you will. Too bad. If this was me, you would flip the fuck out.
You told me you weren't going to come.
No, but that was when it first brought up.
Because you were going to be on a trip.
Yes. That's a different time.
Different time, different dick.
But May 7th. No, the same dick. So can't wait to see you there on Discord. We're very excited.
You're going to have questions. I know you are, but we'll try to post most of it as we can in the Facebook
group. It'll be in the Facebook group.
Remember,
the link will be in our Linktree.
Would you ask Anna Faris how to do this on her podcast?
We're nowhere near that.
We are nowhere near that. But think about, would I email Monica or Dax and ask them how to do this Armchair Expert Discord? Probably not.
And also, Google's your friend.
Google's your friend.
Yeah.
Google's your friend. Even Aunt Bing knows a thing or two. Just ask her.
It might be in Chinese.
Takes a little longer, but she'll get it to you.
Let me have a little more Nespresso.
Okay. You know they don't advertise on our show, right?
That's fair. It's just a brand I believe in.
Wow.
Where was I? Anyway, Toe, Season 4, Episode 13, Winds Do Not Blow as the Ships Wish. Boy, that is the truth for this episode.
Yeah.
This, y'all, I'm gonna say this now. We know I usually get bitter by the end of any Night at Fiancé season. And
you hate everyone by the end of it.
And want it to be over. I haven't yet.
No, this has been a great season.
For this season of Toe, I think it's their best since the first season.
Yeah.
Definitely. This rivals some of the best B90 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good season.
This has been a good season of Toe. Yeah. Y'all, we think we only have about two more episodes, and then we're going to get two tell-alls.
Yeah, so, I don't care. I'm here no matter what.
You know, that's not helpful.
Well, no, I'm just saying I'm here no matter what. You and Mary Payne like to
do schedules. It's passive aggressive.
No, I don't mean it passive aggressive. I mean, like, I'm here. I'm happily here no matter what we're doing. We be talking about Toe, Mo, No.
I'm here no matter what, I guess. But it also says you can do whatever you want to because it's futile.
It kind of is.
I know it.
It is.
I knew that was part of what you were
saying.
It
is futile. What's the point? We're going to recap it anyway, whether or not we know the schedule. Whether it's going
to
be the Toe or before or a single or 90, we're going to be here.
Unless it's related to sex, I like to know what I'm going to be doing.
Well, I'm just saying, Matt Sharp has got us by our butthole, just squeezing our little tank, going, "You want more?"
Oh, wow.
Say, "Suey, Piggy." And I go, "Suey, Mr. Sharp, Suey."
That was graphic.
If somebody works at Discovery, send that to Sharp Entertainment. Or don't.
Just a couple of quick announcements before we start the show. Listen to the first episode to get most of the other announcements. No. Ultimatum Queer Love coming very soon on the $5 Patreon.
Yes.
$5 Reality Gaze Plus. Selling Sunset Season 6 and other S's. Next week will be our... Actually, no, by the time you're hearing it, it'll be airing soon. Seeking Brother Husband finale with Cara Berry from Everyone's Business But Mine. You and Me and MAX is still kicking. And our interview with Lindsay from Lalu has been out.
Not out yet.
But it will be out.
It'll be out the end of this week.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it replaces our next...
And we'll have a little break with Love After Lockup. Yeah. Just a little one. Just a little break. Y'all, we're going to have a special segment this episode. We're going to have a Carol Burnett corner.
Yes. Because
we're actually recording this on Carol Burnett's 90th birthday. And the special's airing on NBC. You already missed it. But you can watch it on Peacock, actually. So you can still watch it. But I'm going to tell, I've been waiting to tell Poodle my story of when I went to the taping. So I'll be talking about that later.
Yeah, I've been waiting for with bated breath.
That's all I got. I'm ready to go.
One quick update. I just wanted to say something about.
What happened?
No, nothing bad.
I said that like my mother. What happened?
Are you in a ditch? We remember when Mahmoud told, when he took Nicole to the cat sanctuary or the cat and said, I don't like dogs. And we both said,
oh, if that's someone's, true,
and so I just wanted to say we had a lot of Muslim sissies who knew about Islam more than we do that said there is a reason he says this. The reason he doesn't like dogs is because in the Quran they describe dogs as kind of dirty or haram and said that angels will not enter the home if a dog is inside. And devout Muslims use dogs for hunting or to keep guard. So if you're not using a dog for hunting or keeping guard somewhere, you shouldn't have a dog as a pet. That's the idea.
That's
so
probably...
cats are acceptable. So that does provide a little more context. Yeah. I want to also say, y'all, if there's ever something that would help us, you think, help us to enlarge our info about a certain culture or a certain religion, please send us a DM about it. We are more than happy to learn. And especially if you knew this, you would understand this a little bit better. Both of us are curious about the world and we really do want to learn.
Yeah, we do want to know.
And if we say something that you think is kind of off,
out of touch,
out of touch, or that you know some more context that could help us, we are more than willing to listen to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love that kind of stuff.
Yep. I think that's it.
All right. Let's hope another fruit fly doesn't come and scare me. Let's talk it about. That woman was milking the hell out of that goat in the first just. Squeezing it.
They have had some of the most interesting
transition.
Kind of pre-scenes. First, we had them putting like a cow pile one time.
Cow pile.
They were making samosas earlier.
I don't know why they have to keep showing that cobra. That scares me.
Oh,
I don't like that.
When they were playing Snake Charming.
I understand it, but I wouldn't watch it, y'all. Couldn't get me to even stand by that snake.
I think it's fascinating. I would love to watch that.
I could kind of watch on TV, but it's still, I'm so scared of snakes. Way worse than birds.
I would love.
My mother ruined that one.
I would love to put like some type of like immersion therapy for you where we have you hold a snake. Kind of like the ones for chickens.
We should do that. You can hold cockroaches.
I'd do it.
Yeah?
I'll make a deal with you.
So you would hold the cockroach and let it crawl over you and potentially crawl up your
shirt?
Yeah,
like you would hold a chicken.
I've held a chicken before. Remember, I did that hosting thing. I was in a chicken coop. I learned how to catch a chicken and
actually,
catch a duck.
No one should hold a cockroach. That's fucking foul.
Well, you just went back on what you said.
Jen and Rishi. Zip it. We're meeting the parents, the not funny edition, with the translator and Randy and Myra.
We have learned, we're pretty sure Randy loves queer people.
Yeah.
We're pretty much.
Laverne Cox. I said Lorraine Cox.
Yeah.
I think I know a Lorraine Cox.
Lorraine Cox is her sister who never really had a career. Yes. She's singing at the Holiday Inn. Laverne Cox, though, was at her wedding. Are we
and,
efficient?
Maid of Honor.
The Maid of Honor.
And Andrew Rannells was at her wedding.
Andrew. And then somebody else mentioned something. Y'all. We get it. She probably, the reason why she, her face looks beat, her hair is done, and she comes to play because she knows her inner drag queen.
I would love to interview her. I'm into her. And I know she's probably, she's not great on the show. She's not making good choices. I think she's probably a cool person off the show.
I think probably a lot of people are like, oh, the podcasters are turning on her because I think someone said, because they know that she'll do interviews. No, I still have a lot of problems with her behavior.
I wanted to interview her before I knew she would do interviews.
Yeah, because we're thirsty. But yeah, I think she'd be fun in real life. That said, she's way too involved in her friend's business.
Yeah, and both of us, I don't know if we'll be similar, but both of us had really complicated issues.
We haven't talked about it at all.
No, we haven't.
At all.
I was screamed at, so I wouldn't
What were your issues?
Let's provide a little more background.
Fine,
save it. Basically,
I can't get comfortable today.
He does bring up that it is a shame because the translator is young and beautiful,
and just I'd love to boobies.
Would
boobies,
you
boobies.
Still love me when I'm young and beautiful? You don't know what that is. That's Lana Del Rey from the
is that by Marina Gatsby. Del Rey.
It's a street in Marina Del Rey, yes.
Lana Del Rey?
Lana Del Rey is a singer.
Oh. Is she a band or one person?
She is a person.
Oh, so her name's Lana and her last name's Del Rey.
That is a stage name.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Was she popular in the 60s?
No.
No, she was
she's popular now.
Oh!
You're just out of touch with everything with modern music, but that's okay.
So she
don't touch my foot.
I didn't mean to touch your foot. Lana Del Rey. I'll look her up.
I don't think you'll like her music.
Maybe
it's a lot of it's usually a lot of dark subject matter, and it's this kind of chanteuse at the end of the world kind of style.
Oh God, you love it.
I go back and forth on her. Gays love her,
Lana
especially
Del
gays
Rey.
like emo gays like me.
Lana Del Rey.
I love it that it's the first time you're hearing about this. And a lot of sissies are going, does he live under a rock?
Well,
it was like do you remember The Great Gatsby with Leonardo?
Never watched it. I should.
But it's that, would you still love me when I'm no longer young and beautiful? It was a big song from that.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Never mind.
Maybe they'll show that on a plane.
I didn't love the film, to be honest.
I've never seen either Gatsby film.
What?
No, I just read the book. I've read the book several
you
times.
You never saw the Mia Farrow?
I never
Sam
did.
Sam Waterston, Robert Redford?
No, is it good?
My English teacher needed to take a mental health break and silently cried at her desk while we watched the Mia Farrow, Robert Redford.
And you and all the girls were transfixed at Robert Redford, and all the straight guys would just pass notes about what sports they would play.
That's pretty accurate. Most of us were like this when the green light was going across and the straight guys were like, hey, what's going on with a pep rally today?
Yeah.
And Miss Coleman just cried at her desk.
Poor Miss Coleman.
Anywho. Where was I? So, y'all, basically, the uncle comes in and the mom is there. And remember, the uncle is kind of like the father figure because his father has passed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Jen basically says that she asked the mom about how many proposals and she remembers when they were talking about the proposal. She's like, yeah. And she's like, this is my first issue. For Rishi, what... Now, he hasn't been told that there's a translator coming.
No.
And so imagine what it's like for Rishi for him to walk in and say not just her two friends, her squad, but a translator. And that to me says she does not trust me.
I mean, but he hasn't batted an eye at her friends catfishing him.
I know, and I think...
honestly, it feels a little bit like I kind of want Rishi to stand up
me
for himself.
Me too.
I feel like he's not.
So basically, y'all, she said, how many girls did he reject? And she immediately says, well, he never saw them, but I did it. And immediately Jen goes, oh. And even the friends go, oh.
So maybe there's a misunderstanding. And I went, there wasn't a misunderstanding because that's what he said and that's what we got.
Yeah.
That's literally what he told her.
Well, what they're trying to put an American spin on this, that Rishi has been actively courting these women, and it doesn't work like that in Indian culture. And he said that, but they thought it might have been a translation because if you can't speak English.
Yep.
And he even said, or the mom said, this hasn't been a formal process because if it was formal, he would be meeting everybody.
Yep.
And I think for now that we understand that it wasn't like on Indian Matchmaking and other things that we've seen where the family's going through the process of vetting of different people to get together. This was the informal planning process. Yeah. He didn't even meet these women.
No. So and finally the mom said, and then finally he said, I do not want to see anymore.
So in a way, I can kind of understand. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I know, I wrote,
why he did not tell them.
Yeah, and I wrote, wait a minute. Has Rishi been a good guy all along?
I don't know if I go that far.
Because we still have his friend, but...
yeah. So, then, this is what's interesting here. And this is... so, Mom, do you have questions? Do you want to know why we're asking? And Mom's like, well, maybe he's found someone. And that's when
looks
I went...
looks at the translator.
And that's when I went, she has no fucking clue.
She has no idea.
That's when I started feeling, you know, that feeling that I say when people start feeling unsafe? Mm-hmm. That's when I went, oh, this is going to get really real, really quick. And then I was watching Randy go, I've got something to say, like Jerry Blank on Stranger Than Candy. I've got something to say.
She does say it like
that. And y'all, all of a sudden, Randy's like, well, I'm here to support Jen as she tries to deal with Rishi and their pending engagement. Rishi.
They got rings.
Oh, fuck me.
What this is what brought, so what this actually triggered in me was, because I was outed. I was outed. I was outed
this
in college.
Felt it, like that to me.
And it really, I was shocked at how much it actually
it felt like that to me too.
I was watching it. Actually, I turned it off for a little bit and like take a break because it just brought me back to all of that. The next morning, I remember walking down the elevator and people that were even fine with it, not even against it, were just like, hey, Matt, I heard it last night. It was another true confession. You go, what?
Especially with the parents.
Especially with the parents. And it just felt really wrong.
And I wonder if other people will feel that way because I felt similarly. It felt like a betrayal of any type of trust. And you can say, well, he's been lying to her the whole time. This was a different approach. This was not just exposing his lies, but you're doing it in front of his family and saying, he's got a fiance and these are my family. These are my friends who know about it. And you've brought interlopers into our house in this very, very tenuous, fragile ecosystem. And I just was like, and you can tell Rishi felt immense shame.
Immense shame.
Not just from Jen and her friends and the squad, the Harpies, but his mother and uncle.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was about to throw up.
He did. He did.
They exchange ring. And the mom's face, you can tell, she went, oh. She was just trying to process it. Yeah. In a million years, she did not think this was happening.
No. And mom said, what do I say? And they ask her, and the translator says, well, will you allow it? And I'm like, she just found out.
Yeah. And... and then, and mom's like, maybe they're joking. And so we're in shock. And then she's like, I feel good. What's there to do? If he likes her, it's fine. I
wrote, what the fuck is she supposed to say in front of all these people on television?
She does say, how are we going to talk? I don't speak English. She doesn't speak Hindi. How will we even communicate? And I think at that point, that's because she's saying that because they immediately think they're living jointly in a joint household.
And Randy's like, wait, you know, this meeting's to give everyone time. We're just, it's no decisions, just giving
which
time.
Which is what he wanted.
And Jen goes, you're really good at this, being thank you so much. Thank you.
This was...
she's an interventionist.
This was literally like they came in there, took a shit in the middle of the floor, and put an American flag into it.
That's exactly what this whole thing felt like to me. That's exactly what he did.
And said, and then sang the battle hymn
and
of the Republic.
And I'm proud to be an American where I shit down in your floor. And I put a flag on that shit and I said, your son's a whore.
Wow.
You know what? On that note, we're going to take a commercial. And we're going to finish this up.
Wow. I don't know if we can go on for that. I'm glad there's a commercial.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens!
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So they ask Rishi how he's feeling. He's like, I'm shocked but relieved. At the same time, he's basically just trying to keep his face together. His balls are sucked so far up into his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And then the mom's like, I do want to talk to Rishi a bit about this. And then, so later on, he said, but on the other hand, I thought that Jen would follow the plan, and I'm really disappointed that she
said that this ruins everything for me in the moment. And then they start bringing up that Jen said, well, the mom says, where would you live? And Jen says,
Mumbai.
Well, I'd like to live in Mumbai.
Which is...
but I'm open to it.
Which is far from Jaipur where they are.
Remember, y'all, and the uncle then explains he should stay here because he is the man of the house. There's so many things. Again, y'all, we know this from Jenny and Sumit. We know what Indian culture talks about taking care of older. In Rishi's mother ain't young.
No. And basically, already they were saying, I need a daughter-in-law to help me keep house. I need a daughter-in-law to help me do the things. I'm old now. I can't do all these things.
Now, that is not Jen's responsibility. And not saying Rishi has not, kind of like Gabe. Rishi's like, if I avoid it and don't tell everything, then everything will work out. But actually what he does is he makes it worse because it is not fair for Jen. She doesn't want to do all those things. And what, he didn't tell her.
What I think he was not, I don't know his plan, but what I think he was wanting is the longer, it's kind of a Jenny and Sumit thing. The longer Jenny is there, the family just starts to get used to her. And I think that was Sumit's plan. And to quote another Seinfeld reference, when they said, I'll just be there for you when you've broken up with someone. I'll just be there for you. And then you wait a little bit longer, and now you're just there. So she'd be in their lives enough to where they could hopefully look past this idea of what they think marriage is. Of what they think she has to be Indian. She has to be of a certain age. So, which we know both from Sumi, that's not going to work. But that's Rishi's idea.
It's
not going to work.
And to be honest, it's a shitty thing, especially for Randy and them to just come in and do this.
That was the worst
and
part of it.
And yeah, it's shitty of Jen to do this. But when you do, I'm not making it as an excuse. When you look at the track of the relationship, it's a little different. He didn't out her, but Rishi kind of did the same thing to her when basically he said, I want you to meet the women of my family, and suddenly just thrust her into this house, and they're telling her to take care of and get up at 4 in the morning. She's going, what the fuck? It's her reaction.
Wife training.
Then was very similar to this reaction now. So now they're both in this relationship of just dunking each other in an experience that they're not used to. Best of luck.
And they basically say, and I want to go back to kind of an idea that I was talking about by being this kind of fragile ecosystem of certain things had to be explained at certain times. And I think Rishi was waiting for that. And I don't think it was ever really going to happen the way he wanted it to. But he knew it couldn't be this way.
He knew it couldn't be this way. I don't think he wanted to tell them, period, because he knew that it was never going to be accepted.
Yeah.
Because of her age.
Yep. I totally agree with you. I think he was living on kind of borrowed time with her.
I wrote that kind of is more later on, but so they kind of leave and they're like, so are you happy? And Rishi's like, yes, this is off the plate and it seems happy. And Jen, they go outside and Randy's like, well, I've done my work here as the interventionist and we're going to leave you all here.
Now that I bombed Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. You know what? Sorry. Now that my tikka masala is all over your living room floor, I'm going to leave you to clean that up. And
that's kind of what happened.
And so they go outside and then like, and I wrote, they are such fucking children that
we're going to go get drinks with the interventionist.
They almost
with the translator.
Put Rishi and Jen, it almost reminded me in middle school when two kids like each other, but they don't want to say it to the other one and their friends do it for them and then put them together and walk away.
Yeah, it was gross.
They're really such kids.
So Jen's like, this is the other thing with Jen. She's apologizing for it and worried about how Rishi's thinking about her. I hope you're not mad. And Rishi's like, well, I'm kind of happy for the present time, but
Can I say, because that's actually not in Jen's nature to do this.
Nope.
Her friends bulldozed her to do it.
Yeah.
Remember, it was their idea. So I think Jen now is having shame of, ooh.
It was also their idea to catfish Rishi.
And so they're not good friends.
Totally agree.
They're not.
If we interviewed Randy, I'd tell her that.
I would tell her that.
I think I would. Cut to both of us going, we love you.
Oh my God, I love your makeup, Randy. Tell me about Laverne.
So we're basically, and I wrote down, they need to know that I don't want to live in a joint family. And this is what I thought about. Let's say they stay in Jaipur.
Okay.
And is it possible for, and I can ask maybe an Indian sissy would know this or someone who knows about life in India for daughter-in-laws. Is it possible that Jen or Rishi could come over and do things for his mom and live in a different place? Or would they need an in-house daughter-in-law because they've always been thinking about it?
I don't know. That is what Jenny, that's what Sumit's parents wanted as well. Like
that
someone
is
to be in house.
And I wonder, and
somebody to get up and make the coffee or the chai and all that.
And maybe it is just not, it would be, as the uncle said, it'd be embarrassing. People are going to talk about this, just what Sumit's parents said.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a question of, they would say, well, you know, Rishi's mom, she's a laughing stock because him and his wife live in a different place. And but it's almost like maybe if he had enough money, they could pay for someone to
he's
do
not gonna that. Make money.
I agree with you, but I'm thinking they instead of saying I don't want to live jointly and expecting the parents to accept a different cultural realization for themselves. They're not even trying to come up with alternative reasons.
No, it's very much, that is Jen's problem, is Jen saying, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. Now, granted, Rishi completely gaslit her.
Yep.
And so Jen really hasn't had a lot of time to make these decisions.
Right.
But she's had enough. She had to go back to Oklahoma for a couple, degree C for a couple of weeks or Stillwell and get her visa approved. So this idea, though, what I wrote, Jen doesn't want to compromise at all.
And this is a very long, complicated cultural tradition that she's trying to become a part of.
Yes. And so she leaves, and they think everything's going good. And then Rishi comes back into his parents, and they're sitting there. The mom just looks like she watched all of her family murdered right in front of her face.
Yes.
She's just completely
She's just watched the last episode of 6 Feet Under. Finale of 6 Feet Under. Jeffrey, that's the look.
Claire gets in that Prius and drives down the 10, and you're just sobbing.
That is the look of someone who's just watched the 6 Feet Under series finale.
The best series finale. Still,
one of the best. I also say cheers. When he says,
"Oh, it was good."
Everyone leaves, and then there's someone at the door, and he says, "We're closed."
Yeah, that was good.
People say MASH too. We need to move on. Who gives a shit? Anyway, moving on. Then the uncle asked,
"Mary Tyler Moore." Sorry, now you got me thinking of Newhart. We can't.
Oh,
stop.
Newhart. I remember where I was.
Oh God,
I remember when Suze. Spoiler alert. The idea that people would go, "Well, Carl, I'm not going to watch Newhart anymore."
He told me. Well, golly.
When he woke up and said, "I just had the craziest dream," and Suzanne Plachette said, "What is it, Bob?" From the butt. I also knew that she was on. Actually, I was watching that with my mother and father, and I had to have them explain it to me. And my mother's like, "Oh, she used to be on the Bob Newhart show." I'm like, "That's amazing." And as a child, I was like, "That is a very interesting way to do that."
One day
to end
I'm
that
going
series.
To.
That gives me an idea. Yep.
Let me go play Evergreen on my keyboard.
Yeah. Mm.
Can you still play that on the piano?
Yes. Are you kidding?
You never played it for me.
Well, maybe someday, if you're lucky.
So Rishi's mom is sitting there, and the uncle's sitting there too. And the uncle says, "For the last 3 years, he has turned down these women and hasn't told us a thing."
And y'all, they ask what her age is. 48.
The mom already says before the age. She says, "My heart is broken."
Yeah.
So they ask 40.
And he says, 16-year age difference.
The uncle says, "How old is she? Answer us, man."
Y'all.
And mom goes, "No, no, 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 no."
And then she says, and the thing is, Rishi knew it would go this way.
That's why he didn't want to tell them, because he knew the answer would always be, "Computer says no."
He knew.
He knew.
It makes me feel a little bad, but there's also both. God, this is an unwinnable situation. Another one.
Again, it goes back to the only way Rishi probably wins this situation, what Sumit doesn't realize either, is to leave his family behind and start a new life.
Rishi can't do that. And basically, it really is. You choose Jen or you choose your family.
And Jen doesn't see it that way at all. I hope when Jen watches this back.
Yeah.
I mean, the tell-all's already been filmed, so they haven't seen this episode, mm-hmm. like what it was like. But Jen still experienced it, and they talk. I hope that Jen isn't like, "I'm glad I did it." And, you know,
yeah.
Well, I do hope Jen goes, "You know, he was really terrible to me and lied to me about things and didn't prepare me, but that was an ick moment."
I hope she's gotten a better friends with better ears to listen to, who could maybe help her.
I don't think so.
See.
I think their friends are still friends, because let's be honest, y'all, they're not together. They cannot be together after this. There's no way.
I totally agree. I see this as pretty DOA.
Yeah.
I don't see any chance. And basically the uncle says, "Tell her that, sorry, I can't marry you." And he's crying, and he said, and there, oh my God, this moment, I actually teared up here, because I saw him try to make magical thinking out of this. Like, maybe
yeah.
he just waited yeah. to when the astrologer said things would have been different.
If I just had one more dollar to play that machine, I'm going to win it all back.
I will say this. To me, this was the most compelling episode of this season so far for me, where I was like this.
It was a great episode.
They're doing the Lord's work this season.
This is a
complicated fucking story.
It is.
Anyway, I And then she was basically, Jen loved me so much, she moved here. You see him going through the shame and just blah, blah. Oh, it was really hard to watch. But also I was like, let's talk about something lighter. Oh, wait.
It's not the one I wanted.
Can we just do it regardless?
This one.
We just get started, and before you know it,
this can't be a long thing.
You will not rush me. I've been waiting for 3 months to tell you this story.
Okay, tell me the story. Tell me your Carol Burnett 90th birthday experience.
Okay. Spoiler alert: if you haven't watched it and you want to be surprised, you can watch it on Peacock. Your Peacock. So my friend works.
It's not airing on network.
And NBC. I'm saying okay. It's already, it airs tonight on NBC. Right. So people are listening to this now, missed it. So my friend works on, he works on the production of this show. And so we.
If you don't know who Carol Burnett is, go fuck yourself.
Then you don't know us.
Yeah.
You literally don't know us. And so.
Google.
Yeah. We. So he. I never call. He works on like James Corden. He works on a lot of Hope Dance with the Stars, and I never ask him for. Yeah. But when he said he was doing this, I said, "Listen."
Yeah, we saw Julie Andrews because.
Where did we see
the James Corden?
Oh, the James Corden show, and Oprah, like Shania. He's really, but even though I didn't ask for all those, he just said, "Hey, Oprah's coming. Do you want to see her?" And I was like, "Sure, yeah." But this is the one where I was like, "Look, I don't make a lot of favors, but please." And so,
please.
And so he got me this ticket. And so we went in. It was at the Avalon, I think, in Hollywood.
That's right.
We didn't know that. So he told me, he's like, there's not going to be a lot of people here. And I said, what do you mean? So we walked in, and there were drinks and hors d'oeuvres, all we could eat, all we could drink, alcohol, all this kind of stuff. And then we go and we sit, and there's maybe, it looks like a mini Golden Globe. So there's maybe 40 tables set up.
Wow.
Because it's only people that are in production.
The audience.
It's only people in the production that have been invited. They had some seat fillers, like 12 of them. But other than that, people could not buy a ticket to this.
Wow.
So we went. Whoa. So we went and sat. They sat us on the side. We didn't get the best. Not crazy. Not the best. But that's fine. It was all so small. It didn't matter. But like even the tables had these amazing charcuterie boards, and people were coming and bringing us wine. It was great. So already I'm going, holy shit. And so.
I bet you got a little tipsy.
No, I didn't, because I needed to have my senses around me. Oh. Well, I did later when I talked to Maya Rudolph. But anyway.
Wow. Oh, that's a name. You dropped a name.
So we're sitting there on the side, and we're both sitting. We're like sitting kind of next to the stage, and. And then just kind of like out of the blue, celebrities just come and started sitting by us. And when I say sitting by us, like I'm sitting here where I sit on the thing. Where Jake is sitting is where Katy Perry is sitting wearing full-on Bob Mackie.
Wow.
Next to her is actually Bob Mackie.
Oh, I bet you lost your
who
mind.
I want to design all of our outfits and clothing material.
Well, we need a little more money.
Didn't talk to him about that, but I did talk to him. I had a very nice conversation with him. So Katy Perry's right there. Bob Mackie. On the other side of Katy Perry is Billy Porter.
Yes.
And that's at one little table. Behind them, oh, I'm sorry, Bob Mackie's at the table behind. Behind them is Bob Mackie, Lily Tomlin, and Bernadette Peters.
Now you're talking.
All wearing Bob Mackie. All wearing Bob Mackie. So, y'all, that's who's sitting beside me. And in front of me is Melissa Rauch, who's on Night Court, who was on Big Bang Theory, the little blonde. Next to her is Sofia Vergara.
Wow.
Her son, who is hot.
His son's hot.
And then also, Scott Bakula.
You know why? They were putting it together.
Yes.
Together.
Scott Bakula is hot.
I've seen him recently on TV or something. He looks good.
He is a zaddy.
You just spit in my face, by the way.
Sorry, that's okay. When I told my mother that Scott Bakula, she went, oh my God, Matthew, what would I have done? Because my mom.
I'm glad your mother heard about this before I did.
She made me tell her, oh, you can't keep this from me. I'm your mother.
I just thought you'd tell me when you wanted to.
I wanted to tell you on the show.
Okay, okay.
No, we've got at least 20 more minutes. I'm kidding, maybe 7. And so anyway, they're there. Who else is there? Okay, they're on the other side. I see Kristen Chenoweth is there.
Yeah.
She's sitting at a table with Marissa Tomei.
Wow.
So Charlize Theron is there.
Ooh.
She's at a table.
Charlize.
Glad I didn't talk to her. I would have said
her
name
glad
wrong.
Too. Hey, Charlize.
At one table is just Kristen Wiig, Amy Poehler,
that
Maya
all
Rudolph. At one point, I thought I was living in it. But what was weird is that these celebrities were fanning, like the Bernadette Peters, the Bob Mackie, the Carol. You could tell that they were free. Like, I saw Amy Poehler in a very human moment just walk up kind of sheepishly and say, "Hey, Bob, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Amy." And he was like, "Of course I remember you, Amy."
I love when celebrities do that to other celebrities.
Their guard was down because they knew they were in a safe space.
Yes.
Nobody really fanned.
And them. They didn't know that you were around to show your Lenny like from A Mice and Men's Strength.
That's true. I'm getting excited now, I can't even remember who else was there. There was
Okay, get to the juice.
So again, everyone's wearing vintage Bob Mackie, the gorgeous.
Yes.
So we're sitting there, and then I'll show you the picture later because you can't really see it here. But we're sitting there, and then I don't know why I didn't expect it. So there's like a table in the middle. So probably I'm maybe like 20 feet from this middle kind of booth thing,
mm-hmm.
maybe 25 feet. And so everybody's getting settled. Out walks Carol Burnett.
Yes.
Holding hands with Julie Andrews. I'm 25.
I would lose my mind. I would have lost my mind.
Oh, I did.
To see them together, I would have lost my
mind. They sat there the whole time. She just sat, and I heard her live say, "I'm just here for my chum." And I went, oh, God. It's your chum.
Stop.
She's gorgeous. She looks amazing. So it starts. Steve Carell comes out.
Yeah.
Steve Carell does a bit. I mean,
that I saw, there was a commercial that had him.
The bits are great. It shows like Marissa Tomei does a bit. You've already seen it, but she does a bit as Mrs. Wiggins.
Yes.
Wearing the outfit. And Maya Rudolph wears the Gone with the Wind dress. Like, and they were showing all these different Bob Mackie things. It was incredible. I think Jane Lynch was there. She was sitting at the comedy table. Mm. Darren Criss was there.
What did he have to do?
Well, they sang. He is so hot.
Oh,
so and
he's tiny.
He is. Tiny.
I saw him at his.
God,
his
he
bar.
Just has a twink ass for fucking.
I know.
But he's so straight. But you know, just a waste
Not
of
so.
An ass. Well, you know, he's let a guy do it a couple of times.
No, I've just I'll tell
you know friends who fucked him.
I don't. No. I just don't want to. I don't want to spread rumor and innuendo.
Too late now. We're not going to edit that out. You know, Christina will keep it in. So anyway, then, I'm not going to go through all the parts of the program, but some of the highlights were, Kristen Chenoweth and, I'm blanking. We saw her.
I love this.
We saw her in, not When Harry Met Sally, not When Harry Vaudeville, with Music Man. We saw her, Sutton Foster. Sutton Foster was there. So Sutton Foster and Kristen Chenoweth sang a song that Carol and Beverly Sills sang, and they did an ode to Beverly Sills.
Oh, I think I know what that is. I can't remember it now.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was like something, honestly, we should sing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was great. And it was great later, because like I would go to the bathroom, and literally like, Maya Rudolph's like, "Where's the bathroom?" And I'm like, "It's right over there. I love your dress. You look like a..." She's like, "Thank you, baby." And like when Katy Perry walked in and she was wearing this Bob Mackie dress with a veil and
Ooh.
It had sequins on it. And I saw her dress and I literally crushed my pearls. And she looked at me and kind of smirked. And I was like, "I will steal that from you." And she went, "Girl, please." Like, it was great. My head was just spinning. I just kept saying, it's happening. I was like Sean Hayes on Will and Grace when he gets too excited and you aren't there to slap me.
I needed to
Although you would have been the same, too.
I would have been.
Because even my friend Brian, he's gay, but he's not like an old show queen like we are. And even he said, "I'm having an out-of-body experience. My body's gone." I'm like, "I know.
Okay.
I'm almost dead, goddammit." So then later on, Jane Lynch comes out And she sings Little Girls because she did Annie on Broadway.
Yeah, I remember that.
She's singing Little Girls and they're listening and all this stuff. And then the music starts to kind of change. And I went, oh, they're changing songs. Oh, they're going to do a medley. And I went, I heard the music and I went, wait a minute. Bernadette Peters is here. She's not going to sing Annie, is she? And then I turn around and behind, right behind me at the bar are Billy Porter and Bernadette Peters, and they fucking break out into Easy Street right in front of my face. They walked right. So I'm watching Bernadette Peters singing Easy Street, oozing sex in a Bob Mackie dress. Literally, this is when I might be on television, is they walked right in front of me.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you saw my face like this. And I looked over at Melissa Rauch, and she looked at me, and she said, is this happening? And I said, I don't fucking know. And she went, ah!
I love it when they're fans.
They're fans. And so, yeah, sure enough, they get up and sing Easy Street. The three of them are singing Easy Street. And then the OG Annie walks on stage.
Andrea McCardle.
And starts singing Motherfucking Tomorrow. And
I would have died.
Marissa Tomei looked at me across and caught eyes with me.
Melissa Rauch or Marissa Tomei?
Marissa Tomei. Caught, and she was crying and just went and mouthed the words, I'm done. I'm done. Like, we're all just completely out of body.
Wow.
And
McCardle.
Then if I couldn't get more excited, they finished that. And then right after that, we hear, ladies and gentlemen, Cher. And it's motherfucking Cher in 1970s Bob Mackie. And she comes out, does a presentation, and then she sits, and at a booth is just Cher, Carol Burnett, and Julie Andrews, and I started to cry.
I would have lost my mind.
Because it's just the three women I wanted to be when I was a little boy in the 80s. And even Cher, she had to introduce Sutton Foster, and so she's like, coming up next is Sutton Foster, and she said the name wrong, and so Sutton came out and then sang, and they stopped it. And they actually said, Cher, that Sutton Foster. And she goes, oh, fuck Cher. Come on, get it right. I hate this shit, everybody. I hate talking and knowing names. Oh, well, fuck it. It's what we get paid for.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, I'm Cher. And then she does it again and she messes up. She goes, God damn it, guys. I need a drink. Like, it was just such Cher. It was amazing. And then afterwards, Vicki Lawrence was there. I met Vicki Lawrence. I got a picture with Vicki Lawrence. She was very nice. I ended up meeting Carol Burnett. I got to meet Carol Burnett, and I told her.
Did you lose your mind?
I was pretty. I'd met her before books, but this was time, like, I told her a very quick story about my mom and I. I posted that on Instagram, but she grabbed my hand. She's like, that is so sweet. And we took a picture with her. We didn't know at first we could go down there and take pictures. So I was 7 feet from Julie Andrews, but I did not take a picture with her. But then basically after this, I realized Melissa Rauch and I are now best friends. We just talked for 10 minutes about Carol Burnett after the thing and completely like fanned out. And
you can get
story.
Her number. She can be on our show.
Sure. Let me call her up.
Hey.
Anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful night. It made me wish you were there.
That was great. It could have been solved in 5 minutes, but that was definitely worthy of a corner.
Thank you.
It's definitely worthy of a corner.
Thank you.
It went on too long, but that was great.
It was wonderful. I loved it when, again, Sofia Vergara talked to me. She had to go to the bathroom too. Apparently, I knew where the bathroom was for everybody. Anyway, it was great.
That's something on your resume. Helpful homosexual.
Helpful homosexual. You know what it was? And I'll say this, and this is what I'll finish with Maddie's thoughts. Maddie's thought.
That's not a thing.
I will say that with my dad and my breakup and a lot, just kind of a hard year, sometimes you forget that, like, not only sometimes you lose faith in people or things or whatever when the hard things happen to you, but sometimes we lose faith in our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there, and why I cried when those women were sitting on that couch is I went, this is what that little boy dreamt about.
And you don't cry.
I don't. This is what that little boy dreamt about. Being in this, being part of this entertainment industry.
That's
being
lovely.
Part of this world.
I would have cried the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I just want to remind people that it is important. We talk about, people talk about, you know, loving the inner child and all that. But sometimes let your inner child, those dreams, love you.
I agree.
Okay, I'm done. Get off your grinder.
I'm sorry. I'm pushing a meeting I have because that was so long.
Well, what? Oh, I will not have it. Do we need to pause the show? Do you need to text someone?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a hard out.
I told you.
We'll be back.
We're back.
I've been shamed for my story. The next time you have a Broadway corner.
I'm saying I would have parsed a different amount of time for this. I would have maybe suggested the first show.
Sorry, my lifelong dreams were too long.
I thought those were lovely. I just needed to.
It's too late. You ruined it.
Sorry.
I'm creepy. I'm bad. I'm angry. I'm a motherfucker.
Sounds right.
You are.
Sounds right.
I don't want to be a told you so here, but this was how it was going to wind up.
I think the editing fooled us.
The first episode.
Maybe.
You know what it is? I think as soon as I saw them have no chemistry, I went, oh, this is transactional.
Y'all, we haven't seen them even. I know they don't do it cold, but we haven't even seen them hug, really, or kiss, nothing.
As soon as I first saw them, I said, this is transactional. And I don't think she, without her being aware of what the transaction was.
I don't think Debbie's aware of a lot of things.
And I think that's sadly one of the reasons he found her.
Yeah, and why her son, Julian, is so protective of her.
Boy, who wanted Julian to be right?
Yeah, she does need to be protected at all costs.
So, y'all, if you remember last week, he basically said, my plan. This is what we're going to do. My plan is we're gonna give me the visa. You're gonna go to the U.S. and we're gonna live our lives together. Which that's kind of the last thing in his idea. And he even says, you will bring me to the U.S. as a painter, as a poet. Because there is no future for me here. And he's saying it in a way that is basically like, because you're going to be my wife, you're going to do what I say.
Yeah.
And it was almost like she said, just, Oshama, you're like, it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. I don't know this, Oshama. It just got dark.
I got to say, I don't know if she'll stick to her guns, because next week you see him saying, she's like, love can heal everything. I went, oh no, because what I appreciated was Debbie does not dawdle.
No.
She immediately says, well, this is done.
I'm a non-dawdler Debbie. Now, what he does say on camera says, I promised her that we would live in Rabat, but I really wanted to go to the U.S. He full-on admits it.
He full-on admits it. That
he full-on admits he lied to her.
He does. He does.
And
you're Debbie, a cold-blooded snake, Oshama.
And Debbie says, I'm not supporting a man. And you should be ashamed. And
you done me dirty. You're creepy.
And y'all,
you could do a whole monologue in that wig.
I know. You done me dirty. She's basically leaving, and I opened a door, and a poem slipped through that door, and it was Oshama's poem. Call me a cab. I'm leaving.
Well, no, she said, and the poem slipped in, and then she said, and I was stupid to read it. I'll never read another poem again.
I must say, I was really, really saddened by this. I mean, I knew it was going to be there, but she's devastated,
y'all. I mean, same Debbie. I don't want to read any poems right now. But I think that's a normal response, though. But the way she said it was so poetic.
Yeah. Well, she also said, I feel used, and I deserve it for believing in him. My inner child has been slapped around. Oh, God.
It was so... It's like she said the inside things you think about when you get broken up with that you only tell your therapist.
Yeah.
She says it out loud.
She said it to the camera. So the next day, y'all, she's talking to Julian, and you can tell how hard this is to tell her son, who was basically right about this, that she's going to have to say that. I hate to call you and tell you it's bad. Me and Oshama aren't together right now. And he made some cruel remarks, not like the Oshama I know. And it always happens at night.
It's a different Jekyll and Hyde. I got to say, kudos to Julian, who says, she's like, I know you want to say it. He said, that's not important about me. We just need to get you safe, Mom.
Good for him.
Good for him.
He could have, he's like, I could, he's like, there's no time for the I told you so's.
Randy. You won't listen to me, Jen.
And then she does say, I wanted my happily ever after, and I don't have much ever after left. And I had to pause my computer and go,
that was bleak when she said that.
But at the same time, it's so, you can tell she wants it so badly.
Oh, yeah, she said, and the last thing she said was said, I miss my friend.
But he's a cold-blooded serpent. So, y'all, I don't know what's going to happen. We do see that she...
331, you're fine.
That she meets him again.
Yeah, and you see her saying, love, can I hope she's dumped this fucker.
I wonder if a lot of her relationships, she's looked for relationships. If she's looked for an idealized form of love, of some kind of poetic love, and she's never gotten it,
yeah,
but she still believes it's real. And I'm going to say this now, y'all.
Oh, no.
Love in a a poetic abstract.
Oh, no.
Is, and I can't believe I'm the one who's saying this, it's not real. You need...
And sissies just drove off the road.
You need more than that. You need physical attraction. You need a connection. You need sometimes an age difference where it's not 35 years. You need similar interests. You need more than just poetry. My 16-year-old self would not have told you that. Debbie is still 16 in some ways.
Yeah.
And so this idea that this check that's been written through romantic comedies and everything like this, none of that's real world. And I think most people know that.
Yeah.
And
I think sometimes people know that might lead them into a relationship, but then
it's not going to sustain you.
But everybody knows that's the honeymoon period. And just not usually people 90-day fiance, yeah, but most people in the real world know it's about real things.
You've got to work really hard to be in a relationship, and you got to work on that relationship, because romantic love is not going to sustain it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, maybe the physical attraction and the neither one of you wanting to be alone will keep you going for a while, but if you don't work, it's not going to work.
The thing with Debbie, though, she has this obsession with being young.
I know.
And so that's always going to lead her towards men that take advantage of her.
I want her to be able to sing a life, but I want them to really protect her.
You know what?
I love her so much.
I do, too. I don't want her to be on single. I want her to be on a show like Bob, what's his name? Where she just,
Bob Ross.
Where she just paints, welcome to Debbie's Painting Corner, or just makes jewelry. I'd watch that show.
I think the show's going to do her some good. I don't think she will have made a lot of enemies off the show.
No.
I think, in the end, I don't know if she was a good person to be on this show.
No, not at all.
But
I actually would argue and say not good for her. I think it's good for the show that we get so many people that, you know, Jen and Rishi have both treated each other like shit. And, you know, we were always waiting for the ball to drop with Debbie. Like, when is she going to show us her ass?
Yeah.
She never did.
Never did. Yeah. That's the show.
And you're practically on time for your meeting. So it's all fine, everyone. All right, everybody.
You just took 20 minutes.
That's
to tell
the
that
show.
Story.
It was 12. Go to realitygaze.com. That's where you can find out all this information about us. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. You know the deal. We gotta go.
And Spotify.
All right, we call these people lonely hearts, because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
Yes.
I'm hurrying.
And if you've ever taken a shit in the middle of someone's floor and put an American flag in it and said, we're gonna go get some drinks, peace out, you can call us.
And the home of the brave.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.